This morning's sermon scripture is taken from Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 25. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." This is God's holy word.
Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord God, in this time, we pray for the true revelation of your word. We pray for the guidance of your Holy Spirit in our minds and hearts, not only as we listen, but as we live to be your disciples. In Christ we pray. Amen. In Monday's Discovery Guide devotional reading, the author of that day's devotional included two paragraphs that really struck me as my week began, a week that I knew I would be sharing in a sermon that could be considered controversial. And whether it is controversial or not depends upon who you are and what you believe, I trust. The devotional was on Revelation chapter 1, and the author of the devotional wrote, "I wonder what fears crowd into your mind today. What is worrying you or causing you stress? For a church living in the midst of a hostile pagan world, there are plenty of good reasons to be afraid. So here is a reassuring reminder that Jesus, the Lord of the church, places his strong hand upon us to comfort and strengthen us." And the author continues, "Jesus is Lord of history. Everything began with him, everything will end with him. And in between, all is well, because his purpose is being worked out, despite the wiles of Satan and the persecution of the world." As was the case last Sunday, we begin at the beginning once again, reading from Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. According to this verse of Scripture, there are two sexes, two genders, using the two terms sex and gender synonymously. Following God's creation of both Adam and Eve, as we've read in Genesis 2:24, God says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." In Matthew 19, as Jesus is responding to some Pharisees about the subject of divorce, Jesus responds to their question by saying, "Haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh'?" Jesus quotes Genesis 2:24, giving credence to the truth of the verse, this word of God. A man, a male, will leave his parents and be united to his wife, a female. The Hebrew word used for man in this verse is ish, which is defined as man, as male, in contrast to woman and female. The Hebrew word here in verse 24 is different from the Hebrew word Adam used in Genesis 1:27. But here in 24, the Hebrew word for wife is isha, which is defined as woman, the opposite of man, and as wife, woman married to a man. Two genders, male and female, as determined by a person's biology. Modern society says otherwise. telling us that people can choose their gender and that gender is based on subjective feeling and that gender is fluid. That is a definition from Answers in Genesis, a Christian ministry that is an apologetics ministry where they are dedicated to helping Christians defend their faith and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ effectively. Now, before we dig deeper into the topic of gender, a topic that has been described as both simple and very complex, I want to set the stage a little bit for our lesson this morning. I want us to have a common understanding of some key points. First, our current sermon series involves lessons building upon the earlier week's lessons. Each one of them are a building block. And in those building blocks, we're building one on top of the other. So from God being one person, one being in three persons, to Jesus, the incarnation of God the Son, to the Holy Spirit actively working in the world, to the Bible, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, to the church, the body of Christ on earth, last Sunday with humans created in the image of God, and today realizing that God created us male and female. They are building upon, and those subjects bring strength from the earlier sermons in the series. These statements of belief come from the Bible. They come from God's Word to us. Now, as I started setting up this sermon series and some of the resources, I could have skipped over this subject and you would not have known. But it was part of the statement of belief of the historic Christian church, and so I did not want to ignore it, and I want to talk about it this morning. The Congregation of St. John's is founded upon the historic faith of the Christian Reformed Church, as expressed in the congregation's church constitution, which says, "This church looks to the Word of God in the Scriptures and to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to prosper its creative and redemptive work in the world." Again, founded upon those building blocks from the Word of the Lord. Now, to form such statements of belief, to hold to such values of faith, we hold to the Word of God without consideration of human tradition and cultural norms. As we read from Colossians 2 last Sunday, Colossians 2 verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." As we think about the understanding of gender from the perspective of the Bible, revealed in the creation of man as male and female, it is true that there are people, both Christians and non-Christians, who believe otherwise, that there are more than two genders, and gender identity is not solely defined by one's birth gender. I want it to be understood that I am not preaching a sermon of judgment or condemnation or hatred. What I am doing is a sermon based on my understanding and interpretation of Scripture. That's why I threw those Hebrew words in there. Part of sermon exploration each week is to go back to the original languages and try and understand what the Scriptures are really speaking to us from the original text. One statement of faith that I have seen stated this belief this way: God created the human race male and female, and that all conduct with the intent to adopt a gender other than one's birth gender is immoral and therefore sinful. Now, uttering a statement like that in today's culture is met with name-calling and hatred and condemnation. While I believe that statement to be true, God's Word teaches us in 1 John 5:17 that all wrongdoing is sin. All wrongdoing is sin. I am, and I trust all faithful Christians, are constantly aware of their own sinful behavior and constantly striving to be more righteous. God created all human beings in His image, creating us to seek His righteousness. In Matthew 6:33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." As the Bible teaches the truth of being created male and female, the Bible clearly teaches the reality of sinfulness as well, such as in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And while everyone in the world has the right to their own theology, their own belief system, their own opinions on behavior, on what is sin and what is not sin, the Bible reveals God's view of sin and the consequences of sin. Those who live according to the sinful nature will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, sinful behavior is not just reading Galatians 5 and checking off, "Well, I don't do that, I don't do that, and I don't do that." It's not just checking off a list, because James 4:17 says, "Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins," properly known as the sin of omission. In reading the whole revelation of the Bible, which teaches that God created the male and female, just two genders, which in God's creation is revealed at birth, this is what I hold to in my Christian creed and theology. Believing and living otherwise is consistently described as sinful behavior. Romans 6:11 through 14. "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Christians are to seek the righteousness of God, seeking God as ruler and master of our lives, not letting sin reign in our lives, striving to be as holy as possible. We cannot be perfect, but to seek to be as holy as possible through the grace and the love of Jesus Christ, expressed so well in John chapter 3. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." So the question of the sermon series: what to do, what to say, how to interact with a person who believes otherwise, who believes or feels that gender is not limited to only male and female, or only defined by one's gender of birth. A few points. Number one, study the Scriptures to undergird your belief and understanding. And if you want to dialogue more about this, you can call me anytime or get with me. We still have the sermon discussions going on Wednesdays at 6 in the parlor to talk further, because it is that study of Scripture undergirding our belief and understanding that we are able to defend what we believe as necessary belief. So study the Scriptures. Be mindful of not casting a stone of condemnation. And I use that term from John chapter 8. Be mindful of not casting a stone of condemnation. Because when I express belief, I also know that in that belief, I am sinful as well. There are sins that I have committed, that I commit, and I am sorry for, and it's that struggle that we all have. And that's why we come from a stance of love and grace. Be mindful of not casting a stone of condemnation. That's when the religious leaders brought a woman who had been caught in adultery before Jesus, and they want Jesus to take care of this situation. And Jesus offers some interaction with the woman, and he kneels down and tells them, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And after Jesus stood back up, he looked around, and it's just the woman and Jesus. No one threw a stone. And that's where we have to come in from our perspective. We are sinners ourselves, and we have to be mindful of that. To live with an understanding of God's love and grace, recognizing our own sin, causing us not to judge or condemn another person. We also have to recognize the sinfulness of the world. What Paul writes in Romans 1 is applicable in today's culture. Romans 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, which we have talked about in the sermon series before, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And lastly, if you find yourself in a conversation or a discussion or even an argument over an issue of gender, I encourage you to listen well, to pray for God's leading and God's wisdom. Scripture promises the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, offering words back and forth that we might respond and end those conversations to be that person of grace and love to make a difference in this world. I don't know about you, I have had many conversations with people who believe differently than I do. And over the course of my faith development, those conversations have gone, I hopefully, much more filled with peace and understanding, because we stick to the truth, even though we live in a sinful world, and we leave that judgment to God alone. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that your people would know this is just the surface of a very complex issue, the issue of sin. The issue of sin in our own life and in the life of others. Lord, may we focus in on ourselves to seek your righteousness. But Lord, we also pray for your grace and love as a church, as we seek to be the church in the world, in this community, that we would hold to the tenets of the Christian faith. We would not be tempted by some of the things of society and of the world, but you would fill us with your righteousness and with your love and with your grace. To give you glory, we pray. Amen.
In our song of response, it says, "And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's who you are." Please rise as you're able and join us in "You Are God Alone." Thank you.
and God's wisdom, we now repeat together the statement of faith found printed in your bulletin. Men and women are absolutely equal in essence, dignity, and value, but are distinct by divine design. They enjoy equal access to God by faith in Christ Jesus, and are both called to move beyond passive self-indulgence to significant private and public engagement in family, church, and civic life. Adam and Eve were made to complement each other in a one flesh union in the covenant of marriage. In God's wise purpose, men and women are not simply interchangeable, but rather they complement each other in mutually enriching ways. You may be seated.
And in response to all the good things God gives us, I invite the ushers forward to collect our morning offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, for everything you give us, we give back to you. Put your hand on these offerings, bless them, and use them for your glory. Amen.
Our closing song is called World Needs Jesus. Following the spoken benediction, we will sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, followed by the chorus of World Needs Jesus.
Yeah.
Ashbury University and other revivals like at Lee University and Cedarville University and Samford University. Listen to the words from Samford University's President Taylor. Our theme this year is hope. Our hope can be found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. As we worship Jesus today, let's allow hope to abound in us so that we can spread God's hope throughout this campus and the world.
May Jesus Christ, who has revealed to you as Lord and Savior, bless and keep you this week as you go about the kingdom's work. In Jesus' name, amen.